The title of the message is called Subject to Christ. Subject to Christ. And I want to look at or remind us of what Ephesians 5 verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We remember that Paul said in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Then he lists those areas or what it looks like for when a person is filled with the Spirit of God. He said, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, and then being submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Okay? And so we understand that it's easy to be filled with the Spirit 2 hours on Sunday. Amen? It's easy to, hey, how you doing? Glory, blessed and highly favored, you know, how we do. But Monday through Saturday needs a continual filling of the Spirit. Paul said, continually be filled with the Spirit. And then he begins to walk us through that, what it means to be filled. And the last thing he said was submitting to ourselves one to another. Submitting ourselves one to another. Now, young ladies and wives, before you go, before I mention this next verse, which I know, let's be honest. Some ladies, there have been times you've heard the scripture says, submit yourself to your husband, that gets up under your skin. You know, they say in the West, you get a burr in your saddle, you know, where you just ain't comfortable. You know, I just don't feel good with that. It's just, you know, submit, you know, because that's the next verse now, which is wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. And so some women hear that and go, well, you know, why I got to be submitted to this fool? I mean, she didn't say that. But, you know, now in some cases, with Nabal and Abigail, he was a fool. You know what the scripture says? He was a fool. Now, I'm sorry, but some women married to a fool. That's no way around that. Now, you don't want to be a Christian fool, but sometimes, you know, Abigail was married to a fool. So Paul then begins to go and he deals with relationships through the balance of chapter 5 and into chapter 6. In chapter 5, he deals with the marital relationships. Chapter 6, he goes into the parental relationships and also the vocational relationships between a master and a servant. But we're going to look at verses starting with verse 22, where it reads, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. And I love the way he said, submit yourselves to your own husbands, because that would lend some type of idea that perhaps in that day, women were not only submitting to their own husbands, but maybe to other, in terms of what they would listen to and what they would deem as, you know, one lady, I don't forget being we were in a fellowship after church at someone's house. This was years, I don't know, 20 years ago, I don't know how long ago. And one young lady kept going on and on about the bishop. The bishop said, and I love what the bishop says, and the bishop this, and the bishop that. And finally, and I'm sitting there, and something in me is warming up. I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. But something in me was warming up, because this was going on for like over a period of an hour or so. And we in the house, and we're, you know, small group, we're eating and caring or whatever. And she kept going on and on about what the bishop. And now, of course, it wasn't this church, because it wasn't, there was no bishop in this church. But anyhow, so she kept going on. Finally, I had had enough. I had enough. Because her husband right there. And I said, sister, we done heard enough of what you think about the bishop. Can we hear what you think about this man? Hello. Because I'm done. I'm telling you, I'm through with it. Are you serious? Come on. Bishop ain't praying for you. Bishop don't, when your car break down, bishop not there. When you sick, bishop doesn't come and get the water and help you get to the pot and help you. Come on. Bishop, no. It's your husband. Bishop not paying the bills, and come on. Come on. Come on. Be submitted to your own. I don't want to hear about the bishop. I want to hear about what your man is doing, because he's doing something, or you wouldn't be here. Come on now. Amen. Thank you. I got some. Got somebody up here agree in agreement. Now. Amen. That word submit, you know, the dictionary definition is to accept or yield to a superior force. We can drop, we can throw out the superior, because we already know as Christians that there's no man superior to any woman. Amen. Not any day of the week. Amen. Because God didn't make it that way. Amen. So let's clear that up. We know we're not talking about that part of, or to the authority or will of another person. Or to the authority or the will of another person. Why should you submit, wife, to your husband? Why? Well, the obvious answer is because God says so. Because God says so. And God knows best, doesn't he? Father doesn't always know, you know, the father knows best, you know. The earthly fathers don't always know. But for our Father, our Heavenly Father, he knows best. God knows best. And he says that, wives, you submit yourselves to your husband. Now, any wife who does not submit herself to her husband does not know how much damage she's doing to herself. That's what I'm going to tell you. And you say, well, Pastor, you're going to have to show me this one now. See, because I think that when we come to this subject, we come to it. The problem is that we come to it with worldly eyes. We come to it even in some Christian circles where, you know, there are Christian husbands who wrongfully, and I'm sorry to say, abuse their wives. There are Christian bishops who smack their wife. Come on. Let me tell you something, lady. Tell my sugar. Don't no man put his hand on you. No man. I don't care, Christian, saved, unsaved. No man, but he put his hand on you, you come talk to daddy. Sugar, you listening to me? I can't see you because I don't have my glasses. I can't see you. But nobody, no man puts his hand on you like that. Okay? But when we come to it, so when we say, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, we've got this image in our mind of the man stepping down on his, you know, his wife. Okay, why? Because that really happens. And that image is so, that is so not what Paul's talking about. That is so not what Paul's talking about. God says so, and it follows the pattern of the church being subject to Christ. Okay, a woman, a wife being subject to her husband follows the pattern of the church being subject to Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't have intense fellowship, as coined by our beloved Moses and Jessica. They were the ones who brought that term to us, intense fellowship. Amen. Sometimes it's necessary, amen, to, you know, passion and sharing your heart and your mind. Amen. So let's see, what does being submissive to my husband, ladies, what does that look like? Well, I told my wife, I made sure I got permission. And then I asked, I said, honey, I need to share a story today. Can I share, honey? She says, well, are you going to be sharing how obedient I am to you and how graceful I am? She says, what you going to share? Are you going to share? You going to share how great? I said, baby, look, I need to share. Okay, so I got in my notes. I'm going to tell you this story of submission. Now, actually, when I was thinking about this, I'm thinking about wives being submitted to your husbands. If you look at your life, for those of us who are married, been married for a while, when it comes to the issue, how many times can you really just name a black and white, you can just pull out a situation and say, this is where she had to submit to me. It's not like it's an everyday thing. Woman, submit today. Today, what's today? March 12th. Submit to me today. No, then get up tomorrow morning. Baby, submit to me today. It's not a thing that is in the front of your mind is, You know, the wife run around, oh, I got to be submissive. You know, I bow at your feet, I grovel, and all of this. It's not that. Okay? But I thought about an instance when our children were very young, where my wife had, where my wife submitted herself, amen, to my leadership, amen, amen. And so, now, she didn't want to, but she did, okay? So here's the situation. We got two very small children, and Justin's a little baby. Justin's, no, he's a little baby, he's about 1 year old. And every night, my wife would be holding Justin, and he'd be, Justin liked to lay up on his mother and go to sleep. He'd go to sleep. And so then she would take him into the room, into the crib, and put him down in the crib. And the moment that boy's skin hit that sheet, he jumped up. Aah! With the screaming and carrying on. And Daphne would pick him up, and she'd hold him. And he'd go on back to sleep 20 minutes later. She walked back in that room and lay him down in that crib, and he, and so this went on. This went on. And now we have a situation. We have a situation that's going on, a unsustainable situation. And as you could imagine, husband comes in and says, baby, this ain't going to work. You had to let that boy sleep. No, I need to hold him. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. And so one night, you know, you get to the tipping point. And so the night came when, she put him down and you went to screaming, son. And she was at the end of herself, and she just turned around, walked in the room. Oh, because she was exasperated. Why? Because, you know, you're at the end of yourself. She's at the end of herself. So I had said to myself, like I said with the other woman, like I told you, I get to the point where stuff keep going on. Something need to be done. I get to the point, well, okay, well, see, I don't have enough of this. I'm about to do something now. And so I said, Father, help me tonight, because I got to put this right. See, I know what. Now, listen, we're not on the men part yet. We're going to get to it, husbands. Yeah, I'm going to take my time. Thank you. Amen. But listen, the time comes where, sir, you have to stand up and do something. Okay? And so I said to myself, okay, honey, go put him in the crib. And he rocked him to sleep, and she went and put him in the crib. And he jumped up and he started screaming. I said, go in the bedroom. By this time she's in the bedroom, I'll stay in the hallway. And so I got her into the bedroom, and he's crying harder. Now he really getting into it. Because what's going on is he wants mama. That's what it is. And that's what babies are like that. This is nothing on you. So this is children. We're born in sin. We're born selfish. We are. So my wife's in the room and I'm in the room, and she got up off the bed. She's dead tired. Got up off the bed to go get him. And I jumped up. And I stood in front of her. And I said, you are not going in there and pick that child up. She says, yes, I am. I said, I'm bigger than you. Hello. I physically stood in front of her. Don't try it, baby. Girl, just know you no match. Okay, now all the while he's crying, and now he's starting to and then he threw up. He's crying so hard. And that really got to my wife, and she's, oh, I said, no. I said, guess what? I said, here's what's going to happen, baby. Tonight, he's going to cry really hard, about an hour. Then he's going to go to sleep. And then tomorrow night, he's going to cry for about 30 minutes. Then he's going to go to sleep. And then the third night, he's going to cry for about 10 minutes. Then he's going to go to sleep. And then the fourth night, he's going to get in the crib, and he's going to go to sleep. And that's exactly what happened. But she submitted to my leadership. Even though she wasn't feeling what I was saying, okay? So the scripture says, wives, be submissive. Be submissive to your own husbands. Now you say, you serious? Yeah, that's just how it happened. Now here's what's interesting. Years later, I ran into a couple, and one was sitting down, and she was talking about her sister. She says, I don't know what to do with my sister. Her husband had, I think he was, had moved away to start another job and then was supposed to call them and move them. Anyhow, she says, every night she has to rock this boy to sleep. And every night she puts him down, he jumps up and he starts screaming. And I looked at her. And I said, yeah, well, let me tell you how this works. And I told her what our situation was. But, it, you know, he didn't die. He's doing very well. He sleeps very well. And my wife sleeps very well now, too. But what I'm saying is that at that particular time, she submitted herself to me. And the family moved on. Amen? Well, let me look at an Old Testament example. Not a, of an exact parallel, but somewhat the same. Let me look at Genesis chapter 16, starting verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Let me say something. If the Lord has restrained you from bearing children, there's a reason for it. Don't do it yourself. Don't try and put, oh, I'm going to fix this. Yeah, I got a plan. I'm going to put this together. The reason why she was being restrained from bearing was because it wasn't time for her to bring forth. Even though she was old. I mean, it still was not time for her to bring forth. And so she says, the Lord's restrained me. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. Now, the next line is problematic. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah. Now, the scripture says, I'm getting over to the men, too. I can't help it. OK, but the scripture says, wives, be submissive to your own husband. Now, what should have happened was when Sarah concocted her plan and came to Abram at the time, Abraham should have said, honey, you're not trusting God. We're not doing that. That's not God's way. That's not God's plan. Okay, and so, but the scripture says that he heeded her voice, and then Sarai took Abram's wife, took Hagar, a maid, the Egyptian, gave her to her husband, to Abraham, to be his wife, after Abraham dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So, they've been trying to have children for 10 years, at least 10 years. Wasn't working out. How many people, I don't know how many testimonies I've heard, folks that I know today who could not have children. The moment they adopted, boom, she got pregnant. Sherry's shaking her head. She knows. Some of you know people. The exact same thing happened to them. Okay? So the scripture says, so he went into Hagar. Abraham, no. He went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. So Sarah began to hate on Hagar. Now watch this. Then Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. Sarah said, now listen, she's right. He's the head. Why is Abraham the head? Why is the man the head? Is the man smarter? Is he better? Is he more spiritual? No. Why is he the head? Because God made him the head. Period. That's why he's the head. Okay? And so she says, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. So Hagar despised Sarah. Okay? The Lord judged between you and me. Well, my goodness. So Abraham should have not heeded his wife, even though it was her plan and her suggestion and her leadership. She was leading him in the wrong way. And so in submitting to Sarah, watch this, he wasn't submitted to God. Okay? In submitting to her, he wasn't submitting God to God. In the same way Adam, the Bible says, and she took of the fruit and ate it and gave it to her husband, Adam was not submitted to God in being submitted to Eve. Okay? So neither one of these, and Lord, when we get to the men, come on, fellas, you know. Look, the buck stops here. Okay? It stops here. So there was no, Sarah says, perhaps the Lord, I'll obtain children. Wasn't no perhaps to it. There was no chance of her obtaining children through Hagar. Instead, her wrong was on him because he was the head and did the wrong. Now, we'll explain a little bit later why it is crazy. I've already mentioned it in so many words, why it is crazy for a wife not to be submitted to her own husband. Absolutely crazy. Okay, so wherever there are two or more persons, there will have to be rules of engagement. I always say this. You know, God said, when God created this, established Adam and this relationship, there was God and Adam. And so God gave Adam a commandment, one commandment, and Adam couldn't keep it. But God gave him the rules for engagement, this relationship that we have. This is true with humans, but not with the Godhead. The persons of the Godhead are not superior to one another. But nor has there ever been or ever will be any difference of wills between them, for they are one. But with a husband and a wife, there will be a difference. We're not superior to one another, but there will be a difference of the wills, as we have just outlined in this particular story. Sarah wanted to do it her way. Abraham should have waited on God and restrained her and said, no, we're not going to do that because you're involving me in this. And this is not going to happen. But he didn't. So in man's case, he was created while the Godhead has always been. So man is created, woman is created, and therefore there comes this understanding of how we're going to relate to one another. The man being the head of the woman, Christ being the head of the man, and God being the head of Christ. We'll get to that in a second. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Let me help you with something. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 13 says this, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. Well, Paul is talking about women speaking in the church, keeping silent. It's not my will that a woman should teach a man or have authority over a man, so forth and so on. We're not teaching about women and authority in the church right now, so I'm not going to get into all of that. But suffice it to say, Eve... Watch this. Eve being formed second was not her doing. Now, there's nothing wrong with being formed second. I want you to know that, woman. Okay? Or wife. It wasn't her doing, nor was it flawed or wrong. It was and is in God's divine order. Okay? So, women, you must see yourself in God's divine order and be fine with it, because you know you are fine. Amen. Come on, you got to know that. Some of y'all missed that. Baby, you fine. You must know that you, sugar, you fine. You're beautiful. You must know that. Okay? Why? Because God made you that way. God made you that way in His divine order. So, I was looking at a video yesterday that Sherry, your mom, posted about. It was Ravi Zacharias talking about a young man in one of his conferences asked about women and their place in the earth, in the world. And Ravi mentioned how God took the greatest fact of Christianity being the resurrection And when he wanted to announce it, he didn't turn to men, but he exalted the woman in that he told the Marys, go tell my brethren that I've risen. He said, and so he gave them that announcement to take, and he exalted their status by doing so. And also how he told John while he was on the cross, behold your mother and mother, behold your son. So there is no second class status in the kingdom of heaven. Men and women are on equal footing. Okay. And so wives, you serve God by and when you submit to your husband. You serve God by and when you submit to your husband, because Paul said, wives, be submissive to your own husbands as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. A wife who is submitted to her husband is a wife who is submitted to God. Hello, I'm going to say that again. A wife who is submitted to her husband is a wife who is submitted to her God. And again, we're not talking about this foot on top of your head, you know, submission. We're not talking about that. And what Paul is saying, he's saying to the Christian women, because in and of the power of the Holy Spirit within a woman, a Christian woman in particular, is the ability to do what Paul is saying do. To be submissive. What's so interesting about this is that it is not and was not then the model or structure for the world. Because in the world, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up. A wife who is submitted to her husband is a wife who is submitted to God. Why? You've heard this said before. It's easy to submit to someone who is submitted to God. It's easy to submit to someone who is submitted to God. Okay? This is what Paul is talking about. That the woman, that the wife is submitted to a husband who is submitted to God. If the wife rejects her husband, she's rejecting God. We heard Jesus say things of that nature. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says this, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. And so when Paul says, wives, be submitted to your husbands, he wants us to understand it is because your husbands are submitted to Christ. And so it's not that that the husband is lording it over me, just as it isn't. Christ is lording over the husband. He's not lording over them, whipping you into submission. Do this and do that. No, no. It's quite the opposite. The head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. As the mediator of the new covenant, Christ was subject to God the Father. Okay? And notice, too, that in this passage of Scripture that it seems to follow the order of creation. That Christ is submitted to God in his mediatorial role. In other words, Christ was born 2,000 years ago, but Christ preexisted his birth. He was one with the Father and with the Spirit, right? So he was one with them, but he was born, and in that state, and that's part of the reason why I was thinking about the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that Christ was created a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So he was lower. So when the scripture says he was subject to God, because God is not going to be underneath God. God is equal with God. But Christ in his mediatorial role, being born as a human, having subjected himself to the cross, even the death of the cross, being found as a servant, he humbled himself. He was subject to God. And then the man is subject to Christ. And then the woman is subject. That's the order of creation, right? Genesis 21, back to Abraham and Sarah. We'll see another picture, another slant. Genesis 21, verse 12. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be pleasing. What are we looking at here? Hagar now has given birth to Ishmael. Sarah has now had Isaac. She's weaned Isaac. He's off the breast, and they're celebrating. But Ishmael is off making fun of little Isaac. Okay? Sarah sees it. She becomes angry. She turns to her husband and says, get this son of this slave woman out of my house, because she, her son, is not going to partake of the inheritance with my boy Isaac. Throw her out. And Abraham is upset. Abraham's like, oh, well, that's not a good, you know, Ishmael is my son. And she said, get him out of here. Man, Sarah going off. And, but listen at this. Verse 12 of Genesis 21. But God said to Abraham, now remember, Sarah has just spoken to Abraham. Now God says to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad, Ishmael, or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. Amen, ladies. Come on, wives. This is what you want God to say when you get done speaking. Now, it helps that you have a husband who submitted to God. Because if he submitted to God, then he will do what? Submit to you. I don't know, Pastor. I don't know if that's scriptural. Husband submitting to the wife. Of course it is. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I have no problem submitting to my wife. When my wife says what God says, boom, I'm under it. We looked at that house years ago. We went and prayed about it. I says, honey, we're going to get this house. She looked at me and said, honey, you know we ain't going to buy that house. God ain't telling us to buy that house. I said, good word, baby. Let's go on. Amen. Let's move on. That was the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's move on. I have no problem. And so God comes to Abraham and says, whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. Notice God didn't say it in the first account. Mm-mm. But he says it in this account. Why? Because what Sarah said was the will of God. And God confirmed her word. And so what we see here is not only the submission of Sarah, but we see the submission of Abraham. Because Christ is the head of the church. The church is the bride of Christ. Who is Abraham? He's the bride being submitted to Christ, his Lord. And when his Lord spoke, he wasn't listening to Sarah. It was when his covering, it was when his Lord said, submit, then he submitted. Okay? So, the way we see Abraham submitting to God here is the way the church is to respond and to submit to Christ. When you are submitted to your head, you are submitted to one another. When you are submitted to your head, as Abraham was here, he was submitted to his head, who is God. Then he was also submitted to Sarah. And so we all need to be submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. I don't even have to be the authority in your house. But if I speak a word that the head is saying, then we can all submit to it. Amen? We can, and you can speak to me. And if my head is saying, I'll submit. So we submit to one another in the fear of God. God is all of our head, right? For we are the church. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, Gospel of John, verse 28. Jesus said this, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to my Father, to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. My Father, I'm sharing this scripture because I want us to see how much Christ was submitted to his Father. And Christ exalted his Father above himself. He did. He exalted his Father above himself. He says, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Again, Hebrews 2 and 9 says that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says this concerning the resurrections in that whole passage, speaking about the resurrection and Christ ruling. He says, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he, Christ, puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he, Christ, must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, Christ, it is evident that he who puts all things under him is accepted. Speaking of God the Father, again, is he saying is not under Christ. Okay, so here again, Paul, Christ in his mediatorial role, has humbled himself and submitted himself to God the Father, even though he's one with him. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself also will be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So being submitted or subject to a person does not necessarily mean being apart from or less than. Let me say that again, because I want to show you this in the Godhead. Being submitted or subject to a person does not necessarily mean being apart from or less than. Because the Son was submitted to the Father, yet he is still a part of and is not less than the Father. He said to Philip, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. He didn't say, if you've seen me, you've seen a lesser version of the Father. He says, no, I and my Father are one, right? So Jesus was the express image of his person. He was an exact replica. He represented the Father in every way. The scripture says, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ was the exact example, was the exact figure of God, the God whom you cannot see. Christ says, you see him in me. I'm it. Okay? So, in no ways was he wasn't created. So in no ways was the Son lesser than the Father. Say that to say this. In the same way then, wife, in no way are you lesser than your husband. In no way are you lesser than your husband. This then should allow us to be able to submit one to another. Because my submission is not about your superiority over me. Hello. Hey, come on now. My submitting to you is not about your being superior to me. It's about me submitting to my head and your head. Okay? So, verse 23 of Ephesians 5. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. He's the savior of the body. Now, what, let's say this again. Christ, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Now, you've heard women say this before. My husband is the head, but I'm the what? The neck. They're just having fun, right? That ain't scriptural, but laugh and get on with it. Okay, but here we go. Now, but listen, Christ is the head and we are his body. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a hand or a foot having an argument with the head? Anyone else? Do I have any takers? Is there anyone in here where the arm was arguing with the head? I'm just not going to do it. Oh, I'm just not going to have it. No, doesn't exist. Okay? To do that would be against the interest of the entire body. Why? Because the head exists for the goodness of the body. So why then should the church submit to Christ? Because Christ died for you. He gave himself for you. So we submit to him because everything that he did for my good. The same thing should translate into the marital relationship. I submit to my husband because he's here for my good. That's why it's crazy for any woman who's not submitted to her husband. A woman who says, I ain't submitting to that crackpot. I ain't listening to him, that hard head. Oh, you're not? Well, okay, well. The head is for the body. The head does what is good for the body. I wrote down, please consider all the good Christ has done for the church. So when Paul, all of this is wrapped up in when Paul says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. He just didn't lay it out. But he does later. He goes into it. But in this particular verse, he doesn't lay it all out. But he wants the wives to understand that your husband is your head for your good, not your demise. He's there to bring the blessing of God and the glory of God in and on your life. That's what the husband exists for. Imagine, just think about all that Christ exists for in our relationship. I say, my God, gentlemen, we have a tough bill to fill. We have shoes. We have very large shoes to step in and to fill. But if we walk with him, come on, if we walk with him, the fragrance of Christ, as I used to have fun in all my sermons on marriage years ago, the fragrance of Christ, when I walk up the steps to the house, Daphne inside getting lightheaded. Oh, I can tell he's nearby. Somebody bring me a chair. He's about to walk through the door, and I walk through, and she goes, oh, he's here. Hey, listen, I'm taking that out of Song of Solomon. I'm taking that out of Song of Solomon. I'm just not having fun. I'm preaching the word of God to you. It happened in the book of Song of Solomon. When he touched the door lock, she says, oh, you, my God. I feel him, he's here. And she got all worked up just when he touched the doorknob. My goodness, that's how good he is. So listen, just as in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was a type and shadow. So the husband and wife relationship in the New Testament is a type and a shadow. Come on. Of the relationship of Christ and the church. Remember, the tabernacle was not forever. Come on, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Blood sacrifice ceased. They stopped offering it. The tabernacle and all of its ceremony, why? Because Jesus was the ceremonial fulfillment of the law. He fulfilled it. No more sacrifices. Why? Because he offered the ultimate sacrifice, which fulfilled everyone, and so it stopped. It was temporal. Well, marriage is the same way. Marriage is temporal, pointing to an eternal reality. That's why the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he says, you get the temporal takes from the eternal. And so we see why the tabernacle didn't last forever was because that which is perfect had come. Marriage is the same way. It's not going to last forever. Why? Why? Because there's a relationship that's coming, that it now is for you and I, that will supersede every relationship you could ever have. We'll get into that. We'll get into that a little later. Ephesians 1:22, Paul says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay? Christ and his church are one. One. Now, husband and wife, we experience one flesh. We experience one flesh. But the scripture says that he who is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 3. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, we can experience as human beings, a husband and wife, can experience one flesh. And out of that comes beautiful children. But in Christ, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You will never have that with your husband and your wife. Never. Never. They cannot impart their spirit to you. But when we got born again, God, the Holy Spirit, came, whoosh, attached himself to you. We are one spirit. That's why you can know what God thinks. That's why you can know what God wills. You can know what God feels. Why? Because his spirit is attached to your human spirit. Never to be separated again. Okay? And so that's why the marriage relationship will not carry on in heaven, because God has a greater dimension of relationship for us to have with himself. So just as Christ died to save his body, the church, so are husbands to sacrifice themselves to save their body, who is their wife. In the world, husbands and wives often do what is good for themselves at the exclusion of their spouse. Let me say that again. In the world, husbands and wives often do what is good for themselves at the exclusion of their spouse. And that's why we see marriages breaking up. I know unsaved people don't know God, but it still hurts me when they divorce. It tears me up when Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt said they're gonna, and I'm like, God, come on, man. You're bearing children, you're bringing children into this world, and their foundation of this world is you. And now you're going to shake that foundation and rip it apart and tear it apart and send them kids on their way going, why? Ooh, you know. I know of a young lady. Well, no, she's going to be with the Lord now. But on her wedding night, let me show you how bad this is. She married this dude. And I'll never forget she telling me. She said, on her wedding night, he went out with his buddies. He was out the half the night. You don't hear me. He come walking in, and she like, where you been? We got married today. Because you can imagine, she went off. Sister lost her mind. She went off. Why? Because he had no clue of what he had just done. He went out with his fellas. And I guess the bachelor party was running late. You should have done that like a couple nights before, something like that, whatever. But he went out and was out till the wee hours of the morning. She at home, wondering. He didn't even tell her where he was. And so I said that husbands and wives do things that are selfish in a relationship at the exclusion of their spouse. They don't include. That's why the church should be different. That's why God says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. This will not only benefit the couple, the Christian couple, but it will be a light in a dark world. When you're even today in the world, if you're married, I remember when I wasn't married, and guys, when I worked at different places, guys would be sitting around talking, and we was on a crew. It was an all-guy crew, and they're sitting there and talking like, man, what you doing this weekend? Even the married guy's like, yeah, I'm going to be there and everything. It's like, how you going to be there? What about your wife? What about your wife who's going to be home while you running the streets with your boys? How's that going to work? And one guy turned to me and said, Pat, don't get married. Everyone on this shift gets divorced. I said, you need to change shifts. I was working graveyard, and they said, this shift ain't good for marriage, you know. And I'm just listening. Anyhow, it should not be that way in the church. And that's why God's word says, gives the instruction that it does here, for wives to be submissive to their own husbands. Interesting to me how Paul gives one verse for the wives, or two verses down to verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. But then the rest the wives got about two verses and the husbands get like six. So just to say that Christ has a lot to say to us men of God, amen, and we will humbly and rightfully take our medicine, amen, and be like Christ so that we can be a blessing to our wives. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for divine truth. We thank you for the power of your word that is living within us and changing us from the inside out. Your word is effectively working in us and renewing us, Lord, and causing us to mature and grow and be perfected and completed in Christ Jesus. Bless every marriage. Bless every relationship now in this church, oh God. Father, I thank you for any young ladies and young men in this church that want to be married. I thank you, oh God, you have your eye on them. Lord, you have your eye on their spouse. Lord, it's not anything you've forgotten. Oh, God, you have it all. You've provided all that we need, Lord, and you've provided that also. So we thank you that we can rest in the Lord and do good. We thank you that we can trust you with every day of our life. Father, I pray, help, Lord, the wives to submit themselves to their husbands. Help us as husbands to submit ourselves to Christ, Lord, that we might all be submitted one to another in the fear of God, that all of us might be blessed. We ask these things all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. 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 And amen. God bless you real good.